The capital of Turkmenistan has been named the world's most expensive city to live in for overseas workers. The annual Mercer Cost of Living Survey measures worldwide cities on more than 200 expenses, including housing, transportation, entertainment, as well as food and household bills. It found that the city of Ashgabat has topped its survey, passing Hong Kong in second place, Beirut in third place, and Tokyo in fourth place. After over a century of being part of the Russian Empire and then the Soviet Union, including 67 years as a Union Republic, Turkmenistan declared its independence on the 27th of October 1991, following the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And according to the Mercer survey, the city of Ashgabat in Turkmenistan has more than 1 million residents and has moved up from second place because of ongoing food shortages and hyperinflation. Well, joining me now is Kate Fitzpatrick from Mercer, based in London. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Lovely to speak with you.
And to you. Tell us about the annual Mercer Cost of Living Survey. It's for overseas workers, not for permanent residents?
That's right to an extent. So Mercer conducts this research primarily to help companies who are looking to move their workforce internationally to make sure that they're paying people fairly and equitably, and that in particular they're protecting their purchasing power while they're abroad. So it's primarily for international assignments, so those more temporary postings, but it is also relevant for folks moving around on a permanent basis as well.
I wonder how many people would go to Ashgabat in Turkmenistan to work.
It is indeed a very particular place, and I appreciate a lot of your listeners may not be familiar with it, but we actually survey over 400 different cities worldwide, and we collate 200 of them into the ranking. So that includes a lot of very common cities for expats like Singapore, like London, like New York, but also some more regional locations through Africa, Middle East, and so on as well, because that's where our clients are sending their people for whatever industry it is that they operate in.
So they'd be looking at this and then saying, OK, this is how much it's going to cost us to put our workers in there.
That's right. So the data that feeds into the ranking is used for that exact purpose. So it is used to calculate allowances that support expatriates to supplement their purchasing power in locations. If they're moving from a location that is less expensive to a location that's more expensive, companies use this data to calculate the allowances by which they can uplift salary to make sure that nobody's any worse off as a result of taking their international assignment.
Things must have changed radically with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, you would think that, but actually what we found this year is, you know, this ranking moves around quite a bit every year because either of the factor, there's two factors that come into play here. You've got the pricing that goes into actually the price of goods and services, but also the exchange rates that are used to calculate everything back to the US dollar, which is the base currency for this ranking. And what we found this year is that actually underlying price inflation in a lot of locations is actually pretty flat, but it's currencies that have driven the movement in the ranking this year. So, for example, in New Zealand and Australia, the New Zealand dollar and Australian dollar have actually performed pretty well against the USD. So locations like Wellington and Auckland, Sydney and Melbourne have actually risen up the ranking quite a bit, 30, 40 places. But that is primarily a function of the strength of the currency rather than any underlying price inflation happening in those locations.
I've got the top 20 list here, but you mentioned Auckland and Wellington. Where do they sit in the world's most expensive cities?
So Auckland this year is up 33 places to 70th. So it's the most 70th most expensive place to be an expatriate these days. And Wellington has come up 29 places to 94th. So both in the top 100 as of the ranking this year.
So how easy is it, Kate, to compare cities? What exactly is being measured to get these results?
That's right. So what we do is we look at over 200 different items of day-to-day consumption. So the goods and services we look at include grocery items, personal care items, so, you know, food, toothpaste, laundry detergent, but also activities, so things like entertainment. There's a cinema ticket in there, there's utilities costs, the cost for running a house, transportation costs, driving and public transport and the like. So there's a broad range of individual items priced, put into the market basket, as well as accommodation costs for the purposes of the ranking. And we look at all of those. We go in and price all of those items in individual stores worldwide. So we have an army of pricing agents who go out into the different shops in the various cities that we survey and price these goods twice a year, actually, for our clients. We only publish the ranking annually, but we do this twice a year for our clients, so they always have the most up-to-date information available when they're making these kind of assessments.
Is that information public or is it just for your clients?
No, the detail that sits behind the ranking is for our clients, but the ranking itself is published every year. This is actually the 27th edition of the ranking that Mercer has published. We've been doing this for a long time.
So not just for business, really. I mean, if you're thinking of emigrating, it's a wonderful thing to look at and think, okay, this is going to be expensive living there.
Yeah, absolutely. So our corporate clients look at this data, as I said, primarily to calculate allowances for people that they're sending. They also use it to think about if they're looking to open up operations in a particular location. Understanding what the cost of living is like for locals and expats alike is very an important factor that is considered. So the data is used for that as well. But you're right, in terms of individuals thinking about potentially moving abroad, you know, when the borders open up again, and that's something that we can all think about doing, then understanding how expensive a new location might be is, you know, a very critical part of making a decision about moving abroad.
And you're in London at the moment, so you're number 18 on the list. How is the cost of living in London these days?
Yeah, it's pretty stable, to be honest. London has only moved one place this year. The pound has held up against the dollar pretty well in spite of COVID, in spite of Brexit kicking in earlier this year. So the UK cities have actually held pretty steady. There hasn't been a lot of price inflation here, and holding up against the US dollar has kept things pretty stable.
So, Kate, if you were looking at one of those cities in the top 20, anything take your fancy there? I suppose you might have lived in a few of them.
Well, indeed. But London's home for the moment, so I'd have to choose that.
What accent is it? Is it Australian?
It is, yes. Yeah, I've been in London for 16 years now, but yes, Australia is home.
Very good. Thanks very much for talking to us, Kate.
Absolutely lovely. Thank you so much.
That's Kate Fitzpatrick from Mercer in London.